This is the I Read Comic Books podcast. This week, our show is on break, so in place of a normal episode, some of our regular guests recorded conversations about the series they're reading and the things that interest them in comics. Our show will be back to our regular episode format on July 20th.
Well, Kate and I are here to talk to you about Scott Snyder and Jock's witches. Witches with a Y, everybody. These are not the kind of witches that, you know, you find in Disney stories. These are serious witches. That's how you know they're scary, is they have the Y instead of the I.
Also super important if you go to your comic shop, as I found out the first time I tried to find it, because there were two ongoings at the time with the name witches, one of which had the Y and the other did not. And I think it was actually The Witches or something like that. So
witches with a Y.
Yeah, if you were asking for it, they're like, which one? I'm like, the one the internet told me about.
So I think that we landed on this topic for two reasons. The first is that Kate really wanted to talk about Scott Snyder and how he is a tormentor of feelings. And
it's so
also,
true.
Yes, we think that Witches 2 is happening, and we're very excited about that. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to visit the first volume.
Yeah, I'd have to go look at the date. I think in theory it was supposed to start again at the end of May, but maybe I'm getting my dates wrong here.
Scott Snyder did tweet a mini Witches story of emoji, if that counts, like just the other day, which is the end of May. So he wasn't lying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it just got backed up a little.
So, Kate, how did you first discover witches? You're a Scott Snyder fan.
I am, but I wasn't at the time. This was actually the first thing of his I read.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I'm not that weird. So I don't even really remember. It was when I first started reading stuff, which should give you an idea how recent my comic book stuff has been. It was like a year or two ago. So maybe it wasn't right at the beginning, but it was at some point I had realized that I really liked horror comics. I know what it was. I went to the library and got my first edition of Hellblazer.
Nice.
And read that, and I was like, horror comics are awesome. And then I went to Vault of Midnight, our friendly local comic shop in Grand Rapids, and said, I would like to read more horror comics, please. Can you point me towards some good ones? And also the internet had given me some ideas. And so then when the stars aligned and they recommended a thing that someone online had also said, I was like, okay. And the cover was cool and everything was
The covers happy. Are cool.
Yeah. So it was sufficiently creepy to make me go, ooh. And then I was hooked from the beginning.
So I will just throw out there that this is written by Scott Snyder with art by Jock and colors by Matt Hollingsworth. And I hope that at some point we talk about the colors because they're awesome. And it's published by Image. So if you are interested in checking this out and you haven't already, that's all the information you need, plus The Witches with a Y. I actually discovered it on Comixology.
Oh, okay.
Because there was like a free preview issue. I don't know if it was a free comic book day thing or if it was just a thing Image put out.
There totally was, I think.
Okay.
I might need to amend my how I came to this story. I might have seen it and heard about it and then had it recommended. And I just remember like so many things came together at once, and like a friend that I was in a comic book club with at the time
mm-hmm.
said something about it, and just like everything at once was pointing me to this. So
yeah.
Just throwing it out there. It's also only a $9.99 trade and it's huge.
Yes. So I was really drawn to the artwork, so, and the colors, which is why I felt like I needed to take a minute and just like give a shout out to the creators, because it was the colors, I think, that made me intrigued enough to check it out. And I read it in, at the time, I was also kind of like exploring outside of capes. So,
yeah.
So I was reading it in Guided View, which, full disclosure, I now, my job is doing Guided View at Comixology, but at the time it wasn't. So I am not like being a shill here when I say that it really enhanced reading it, because there were, you know, your eye can't dart forward and see what's happening, and there's jump scares and they're like reveals of these terrifying witches and just the mood and the tension that the color and the art create was really enhanced by only seeing one panel at a time. So yeah, I was hooked from that free preview, and I bought all of them in the hardcover, and I eagerly stalk Scott Snyder's Twitter to find out when the second volume is happening.
Wait, there's a hardcover?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I have a paperback. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the back about the how they did the layouts and the art and the art process, especially since there's so much, so many steps to it with the way they, you know, color and then do digital.
I have that too.
Stuff too, yeah.
And these essays and this really adorable picture of Scott Snyder. Okay, so just for a second, can I ask? I don't know, like Scott Snyder, if you're listening to this, like tweet us, write us, let us know, like. Do the eyebrow twitch, does that just happen automatically? I have literally never seen a picture of Scott Snyder without the eyebrow.
Without it. It's so true.
It is so great. I love it. I'm not making fun. I think it's amazing. But I'm just curious if that just like happens automatically or if that's a thing that you cultivated. Sorry, that's a random aside.
Side note.
Although I have to say, like, he just looks like such a sweet, nice guy. And then,
but he is, Tia. So I've talked to him at a con, and there's like a line of a billion people, and it lasts forever because he's too nice. He doesn't know his own power, and he'll talk to every single person who shows interest for like 5 minutes. He has these like mile long lines, right? They had cordon off like a fourth of the floor for the Scott Snyder line. And then he talks to every person all this time. And so I'd go up there with I took multiple states away to this con. And I took all my copies of Witches that were out at the time and to have him and Jock sign. And it was super exciting. So I'm up there like having him sign, I think it was 5 issues, and telling him how much I loved it and how much it meant to me that he had a protagonist that was both mentally ill and strong, not to be screwed with. Because Sailor, for those of you who haven't read it, Sailor, the protagonist, has some serious anxiety issues. And he was so sweet. He starts going into it about how, oh, thank you. Well, this is really autobiographical because I have anxiety issues. And my 8-year-old son, I think was how old he was at the time, but, you know, school-aged kid, also has really bad anxiety. And it's what it was like for me helping him. And, you know,
I mean, this book is...
Well, at the same time, I also am anxious. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, there's like a billion people behind us, but you're awesome.
I think that in a lot of ways, this book is an ode to fatherhood, but also I think that it so beautifully captures the struggle that you have when you love someone with anxiety. And there's mm-hmm. nothing you can do to help them except to just care about them. And it's, I think that it gives equal attention to the father's pain of not being able to take it away from his daughter, but also the fact that it's really something that she needs to deal with on her own. And it respects that even as a child, like you just, you know, you can figure it out and you just have to, but not in an isolated way.
Right. Like it goes into the whole thing about how you can't just, as much as frustrating as it is, you can't just shake someone and make them, you know, snap out of it. Cause that's of course your impulse when people are irrationally fearful is to just be like, just knock it off, just stop. But of course that doesn't work.
I suppose we should probably explain the premise of this book to anyone who hasn't read it. Which is essentially that there's this...
With no spoilers.
With no spoilers. So more or less, there's a family of a mom and a dad and a preteen girl. And they've moved to a rural area. And there is a situation that had happened with Sailor in the past that was kind of traumatizing to her. And also, the mom is in a wheelchair. I'm trying to be very vague here. And it turns out that in this town, there's this strange presence and these really terrifying, hideous, monstrous witches that will pull people into the trees exist. And certain people in the town seem to have a kind of, I don't know, not a relationship with them necessarily, but there's definitely an element of like, there's something going on here and everyone's in on it but me.
Right, that small town collectivism almost.
Yes, yeah. So the anxiety that we're talking about in a lot of ways is rooted in real mental anxiety issues, and also events that have happened that are very traumatizing that would be difficult for a family. But then there's also this supernatural element of like, am I crazy or is this happening? And so it's a really kind of nuanced, multi-layered way of exploring this issue.
Absolutely. And it goes into that whole thing of like, okay, because there was this pre-existing anxiety disorder, then she's less believable. And, oh, it's just the trauma. It's just your anxieties. It's just, you know, this, you just need to see a therapist kind of thing, when in fact stuff may or may not be really happening.
When in fact, witches.
Right, exactly. They're creepy.
Oh, God. I mean, the art and colors in this book.
So perfect.
Matt Laysworth worked on Hawkeye, right?
I feel bad that I don't know. But I only recently, based on a lot of stuff you've said, Tia, started paying attention to colorists, to be completely honest.
Oh, so good. They're delightful.
Yeah. I'm a convert. After you pointed it out, I was like, oh, that is kind of a jerk move to not notice that. But yeah.
In this book, I feel like, though, the color is really important because in scenes with a lot of like high tension or terror, there is this overlay over the art of like splashes of color or texture. There's like screen texture over some. Mm-hmm. And I found that it really heightened the sense of fear and disorientation.
Absolutely. And to the point where you'll have like splashes covering important things so that it's more disorienting.
Yes.
And jarring. It kind of reminded me of the first time I was going through it. I'm like, man, this guy loves splashes the way what's-his-face that directed the new Star Trek movies loves lens flare, J.J. Abrams. Is there high tension? Lens flare! But it works really well. Like, all jokes aside, it works for the same reason it works to disorient you in a space battle. You know, both of them use it to great effect.
Yeah, I think that it also really heightens the more like starkly real, non-supernatural moments because all of a sudden you're like, everything is in a much sharper focus. And even if you're not the kind of person who notices those things in a really forward kind of way, it does help create mood that I think contributes a lot to the story.
Absolutely. And I don't know. So for me, the first thing I noticed that was like amazing was the art, obviously. But then what really kept me coming back and that what has it, I recently massively culled my pull list because my rent went up. It's awful. I have to pay for real adult things instead of comics. But witches survived the culling because of the art's great, but what makes it so perfect for me and why it will stay on there until it's done is Scott Snyder's writing is so tight. When you go back, especially once you're rereading stuff, you see how like tightly tied together everything is and how perfectly paced. Like, there's these great, great moments of foreshadowing.
Yeah. It's nice. I love books that really stand up to rereads because, I mean,
yes,
comics are something that you spend a lot of money on, and I hate to think of them as a sort of throwaway thing that I can only get one experience out of, and that's why I really am glad that I picked up the hardcover, because I'm like, this is a book I want to spend some time with.
This was, I believe, the first book that I ever got in single issues and then also got the trade, and it was because I was recommending it to so many friends at school, and
then
was like, you can't have my floppies, and it wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
And like the library, and so the way I could get people to read it was to get the trade and lend it to them, and it was only $10, so I was like, sure.
So what is your, is there a, do you have a favorite moment in the first volume of Witches?
Okay, so favorite foreshadowing moment, hands down, and so it's the first like five or so pages, so it's, I'm not spoiling anything here, but they're at their new house. They've, you know, book starts off with this family having just moved to the small town, right? And so they're in this new like old farmhouse, and there's this moment where Sailor's parents are both in kind of a studio area working on their respective projects, and sue there's a doe, like a deer, just in the room, and then it becomes ill, and they're talking about it like, oh my gosh, what the heck, what was that? And Sailor's mom was just like, said something about, you know, it probably had rabies. And then she said, quote, the woods are full of horrors. Like, oh, little do you know. And so at the same time, I'm like, okay, the wording is clever. But then add to that, that then, of course, the whole thing is so symbolic of their home already being penetrated and how it's permeable. Like, it can get in. Like, anything can get in. And then, of course, that becomes much, much more significant through even the first issue after that. Not just in the first, it makes the rest of it more believable, I feel like, because that's the thing that you can get really stuck in with books like this that are like magical realism, where you're not totally suspending disbelief because it's not like high fantasy or something. You're still in the real world. You're at real world with what ifs, I guess. And so because it's so cleverly put together like that by Scott with all these little tidbits that feed into it, that then when there's bigger things that happen that are more supernatural, you go, aha, that is real because this thing happened. And, you know, it makes it work in a way that it's not gimmicky.
It sets up the fantastical things. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I totally get that. For me, it's funny that you picked that moment. My favorite moment is also a non-supernatural moment. I remember so vividly reading issue 5, and mm-hmm. there's a scene where Sailor is trying to explain to her father what her mental illness feels like and why he can't help her. And mm-hmm. it's a conversation I've tried to have with people so many times, and it's so articulately and clearly put, and it just... I was actually flying to Emerald City Comic Con, and I was sitting on the plane reading it, bawling my eyes out on the plane. People literally would walk down the aisle and be like, are you okay, miss? And I'm like, it's a comic. I'm fine.
It's Scott Snyder. Yeah. He doesn't know his own power.
Yeah. But just, and I was like, can I just send this to my family so they understand mm-hmm. that, like, I appreciate their help, but they're not in the room and they just can't help me.
Yeah.
You know,
like every scene between Sailor and her dad is just all the feels.
Well, especially
because I definitely had moments where I teared up too.
Like, so she's yelling at him that he can't help her. She's using this metaphor that he's not in the room. And then the very next scene is him like in the symbolic room with the scary chit, chit, chit noises, which, by the way, the chit, chit, chit noises, brilliant and so scary.
Is gimmicky and is pop culture as witches in general in pop culture are. I mean, like every Halloween, everyone puts up witches decorations, right? Like these are hands down the most terrifying version of the, I think he kind of went old school with it, like original mythos of witches.
Yeah. These are gross, and they are, scary witches.
They like, I don't have bad dreams from comic books, but these gave me dreams.
So in this world, one of the ways that you... interact with the witches is you pledge someone to them, and then in return something happens for you, and then they become like they basically are a subjugate of the witches, the person that you pledge. And it's kind of unclear what happens to them. I mean, nothing good, obviously, but
they get pulled into trees.
Yeah,
it's not good.
It's really not. So there's this whole who would you pledge, which I find very horrifying as a question,
right?
Because in the book, it seems like it happens accidentally. People don't realize that their thoughts are being picked up by the witches and that they're making it happen by like considering this person pledged to them. And so
I didn't get that at all. I thought I got a much more official feeling from it.
I got that. Yeah, I didn't read it as so literally. I mean in some cases sure, but in others I was like, does that person know they just pledged that other person? Mm-hmm. And like, I honestly can't think of anything that I would want from a witch that feels worth doing that to someone, even someone I hated. However, I feel maybe I should ask Scott Snyder this question if I ever see him at a con. Do you have to pledge someone you know personally?
Trump doesn't count to you. He's not human.
I mean, I feel like you could do a lot of good in the world if you could pledge people that are just bad people.
Well, and that, so a large part of the, so the, obviously there's the supernatural creatures, which are horrifying to look at and horrifying in their existence, but an even scarier thing, once you start thinking about it more, is what are humans capable of doing to each other in their own self-interest?
Absolutely.
And what, who can you really trust? Like, the opening scene is of a woman that's trying to escape from them, and then she's saying to her little son, help me, help me.
Oh,
and
God, says, well, what's, it's, what's so wrong? Scary.
Like, what happened? Why are you in there, in that tree? And she's like, someone pledged me.
It's so scary.
And he doesn't help her. And that, like, that immediately sets it up as, like, you can't trust anyone. Like, the most primal of bonds, that mother-child bond, it won't even save you.
That's literally the most scary moment in any horror film, book, comic, anything. Like, the moment when you're like, yes, I'm saved, save me. And then your savior's like, no. And you're just
someone,
like,
especially when it's someone you trust. And he's like, nope.
Yeah. Oh, man. That...
Pledged is pledged.
Yes. And at Halloween, our office goes all out and puts up crazy decorations. Mm-hmm. And so I made speech bubbles for the witch decorations that say pledged is pledged.
That's awesome.
So would you pledge someone if you had an opportunity to do something for yourself?
That would, even for people who you truly hate and feel like would make the world a better place, like, how would you live with yourself? That's the same reason I could never be a hitman. Like, I feel badly enough about myself sometimes as it is, and that's just my own neuroses. Can you imagine if there was real events to fuel it? Forget it.
I feel like I could be a hitman, weirdly enough. I don't know.
Of course you could, yeah.
I mean, I assume that people who are being taken out by hitmen are, like, bad people. Or I would at least endeavor to only hit bad people if I were a hitman.
Okay. But everyone, I feel like there's no one who's truly completely evil, though, right? So,
I guess.
I don't know.
I mean,
like the guy who invented the Heimlich maneuver, Dr. Heimlich.
Yeah.
Horrible person. But look at the millions of lives saved by his one maneuver he came up with years and years ago. So,
you're so optimistic.
I guess I call myself that, but I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, no.
I've read too many alternate timeline type comics, Tia, where you try and fix that one little thing that goes wrong, and it's just an avalanche of shitstorm. So,
you know, this is another mini-sode waiting to happen.
Time travel. Does it ever make anything better?
I feel like that witches ended on a real cliffhanger.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like I have heard the internet rumors. I don't even know where they came from, if they came from Twitter or the creators themselves. That the next volume is going to be in the desert. And I don't know if I heard that rumor so that somebody could make a sandwiches pun or if that was a real thing.
Did you learn from this from a meme, Tia?
I don't remember.
You can't trust memes.
I mean, my brain is so addled by the internet. I don't know what's real anymore. I don't know where things come from. Help, I'm a millennial. I don't know.
I have not been on social media for like 3 days in a row.
What?
And I'm like, I don't know what's happening in the world. I feel so disconnected. Because I, you know, comic book day is when the Twitter goes nuts and I missed it. And then I'm talking to people and I feel so behind. But anyway, all things aside, yeah, no, I moved. I've been busy. So,
well, these could be unfounded rumors, but there's no trees in the desert. So,
yeah, how would that even work?
I don't know. But see, that makes me really nervous because that means that trees are not the source of their power.
Right. You got creeped out by the woods. Now bring on the void.
So I don't know what Michigan's like. I don't think I've ever been there. But where I live part time in in the middle of nowhere, Massachusetts, like the furthest northwest you could go in Massachusetts, it's all woodsy and terrifying. And when I was like reading Witches when it was coming out, I would be driving at night and I would swear to freaking God I would see witches in the trees, and I would be like, God damn it, Scott Snyder, no.
Michigan's more like a cross between that and Ohio, where you have nothing but fields, and so you have trees, but lots and lots of open farm fields. Oh, okay. And stuff.
So you could get away, but then the Jeepers Creepers thing would get you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Good, good, good. Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited to see this keep going, because I feel very invested in this family, and it left them in a terrible place.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I didn't even realize that now I really want to go look up that date when it was supposed to come out. Maybe it's not for a bit. Hold on. We'll internet this, people. Don't you worry.
I thought we just established that the internet cannot be trusted.
Shh, Tia. Your pessimism is not welcome here.
Okay. In any case, if you haven't read Witches yet, you have time to read it before Volume 2 comes out. And you should, because it's awesome. And if you've already read Witches, you really should read it again, because as Kate and I discovered, it holds up really well to rereading. You discover a lot of new things about it. And it's really just the terrifying gift that keeps on giving.
So according to reliable source, comicbookresources.com, you are not wrong about the desert thing.
Sandwiches.
Which is horrifying. They totally have a cover image of what it's going to, and it look, yeah.
Sandwiches.
Sandwiches is real. Hashtag sandwiches. And it has no apparent release date yet. Let me check Image's website.
You're so responsible. I'm like, let's go to Twitter.
Well, the thing about Image's site, though, is it's not always that accurate. I mean, that's true for all the big publishers. Like, I feel like no one updates their pages as much as I want them to.
Well, I think especially for Image, because it's creator-driven, things just are in flux more.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's worth the wait. Scott, John, Matt, we love you.
It is, and Image doesn't have anything on there either. So
we will not pledge anyone in order to get it sooner, because we are good people. Well, kind of.
That's right.
Kate is a good person.
Well.
And I am moderately not an asshole.
Oh, Tia.
Thanks for listening to the I Read Comic Books podcast. This episode was produced by Tia Vasiliou and Kate Scotchless. The show's producer is Mike Rappin, and our editor is Xander Riggs. The music in this episode is brought to you by Infinity Shred. You can find more of Infinity Shred at infinityshred.com. Remember, if you enjoyed this show, tell someone about it, rate us online, or write to us. Until we return on July 20th, our minisodes will be full of conversations about the series we've been most excited about. Let us know what you're planning on reading this summer, or what you've been reading. You can send us email at ircb@destroythesybe.org. If our minisodes aren't enough, you can check out our backlog of episodes on our website, ircb.us, or through the podcatcher of your choice. You can find the entire podcast team on Twitter, and you can follow the show at ircbpodcast. And don't forget, you can join and spark conversations over on our subreddit at ireadcomicbooks.reddit.com. And until next time, from all of us here at the podcast, thank you for listening.